Well, greetings, everyone, from the home office. It's a nice, toasty 85 inside here. We were just honoring our new store openings. We had, I think, five yesterday. And one, our guys were out at Fargo, North Dakota. Anybody heard of it? You ever know where that is? Well, apparently it was minus 50 and wind chill, whatever it was cold. And they said they were going to go ice fishing, but it was too cold to go ice fishing, which reminded me of an old Italian joke. How many Italians does it take to go ice fishing? And the answer is 20. You see, one to cut the hole and 19 to push the boat through. Now, you see, this is another lesson. Are you a visual learner or an auditory learner? Because today I'm going to apologize. You have to be an auditory learner to be on this call anyway. But we have to review our homework. And may I say once again, unbelievable, blown away by the depth and the breadth of personal involvement, just the self-awareness that we're asking for came through. So really blown
Cody
away
and
some
Jenna.
Talent. Some serious talent. And so this is going to be, I'm going to read several. I obviously can't read them all, but very proud of everyone that actually submitted. And everyone submitted with the same lack of confidence that you would from writing the poem. And they were all really good, so I don't get it. But, you know, this takes me back. It really enjoyable for me because it takes me back to college. Sister Mary Faith was the one who taught this class. Now, this is, if you talk about an angelic woman, this is it. You know, she's 80 years old, still teaching this class. Sister Mary Faith, she died pretty soon afterwards. Just, you know, she was, I mean, I'm sure she went straight to heaven, but it was that class that, you know, I looked in the room. We signed up for classes back then, and I needed an extra 3 hours. I tell this story. I looked in one of the rooms, and they have a clipboard on the outside, and all I saw was like 20 pretty girls. And I'm like, I'm in. And I didn't even know it was a poetry class, but we really learned a lot about poetry. I'm here with Kelly Davis. She's had a poetry class, right? And then she's got a beautiful poem. I mean, you don't have to have a class, but it does bring me back. So for you auditory learners, great. If you're a visual learner, you're going to have to close your eyes. Because we are going to read a few poems, so sit back, relax a little bit, and just kind of take it in. Now, one of the things we talked about was maybe actually creating a little booklet and sending it out without names and just for fun, just to see what people have. But here are just some of the ones that I kind of liked, and we'll go from here. Some of them have titles, some of them don't. Here's a short one. Find the time, patience, penchant to lead like an uncontested holy descendant. If you want to get started but cannot decide where, nourish the sapling whose sweet fruit will come one day to bear. All right, there you go. There's a simple poem, but not you know, they can rhyme, they can not rhyme. Like that one a lot. Here we have one that's, we see change all around us, from the leaves on the trees to the buildings taking their place. Old becoming new, like each dusk turning dawn. But do we see the people in front of us changing? A homeless man cleans himself up for an interview. A criminal repenting his sins. An addict reforming to a loving mother. People transforming into new versions of themselves every day. But only when the want to be better overcomes the comfort of the old self have they truly changed. Yet, every day people choose the easier route, the chase for happiness and pleasure, the pain it causes themselves and others. When will the best version of you be enough for you? That would get an A+ from Sister Mary Faith, I will tell you. Now, you know, that was probably, you're going to say to my, well, I can't write a poem like that. Well, maybe you can. How do you know? You guys tried it. You didn't really want to do it. And see, that's what sometimes, not that I'm a good teacher, but sometimes if you're teaching, you have to push outside the envelope a tad and figure out what people, you know, stretch a little bit. This one hit me, loved it, and had to send it to Steve Leonard, one of our guys. Attitude separates the good from the great. Attitude tells me success is my fate. Attitude is what keeps us going when things go wrong. Attitude makes a short day of one that is long. Attitude is worth more than a diamond ring. Attitude is wind beneath my wing. Attitude is everything. That's a song. That's a rap song, I'm telling you. We can do it.
That is a hit.
We can do it. What world are we living in? Full of discrimination and hate within. The fighting and dying on the daily. It's time to stop and find the beauty. Inside each person is an ounce of good. Now it's time to make this a part of our livelihood. Think of the positive instead of the negative. To say to every human and change the perspective. One by one, we can help change the vision and give mankind a reason. All right. That one passes the test. I like this one. As the red distant sun sets in the west, I'm reminded of all that is best. Our health, family, and friends, and not the stuff that pretends. A meaningful purpose in life is what keeps away the strife. To work with a purpose and plan at any length brings peace, harmony, and inner strength. To be graceful and not hateful, to powerful force that brings the living life closer to the source. A plus. I really can't read all of them. I'm going to do a couple more. This is one I like, kind of my Jersey Mike's mantra. Be proactive and prepare. Listen to show you care. Encourage to help build. Keep my team thrilled. Patience, but not to a fault. Take naysayers with a grain of salt. Making my future, honoring the past. With my dad watching over, having a blast. Always keep first things first. In my quest, I am immersed. Start with the end in mind, for it eases the daily grind. Work to be your better self by taking that book off the shelf. Coach, don't tell. Teach, don't yell. I'll always be ready to answer the bell. So many good ones. Like I say, probably send them out. I'm going to read two more. Tides. On the shore of unconsciousness, struggle isn't a matter, as time is shown in magenta splatters. Tracing cinnamon memories to an earthy aroma, the cycle repeats. The moon pulls more fiercely so that tainted blood rises, but still manages to speak in low voices. While the ocean sends cellophane fingers to wrap coarse leather skin around the ankles with intent of the surface to shatter. Drifting as feathers float, the mind comes up for air. That's a wow. We're going to start this book. You know, when you go to if you've ever been to a poetry recital, it is an awesome thing. And generally, it's 20 women and one guy. But we did have some guys' input in here, which is great. But it is sharing kind of your soul in a way, kind of taking down the, I would say, not necessarily the borders, but it really does help us become self-aware. And, you know, it kind of strips away some of the, you know, you got to like me for this or that. And that's just one thing I think it can be used for. All right, one more. That's only because somebody wanted to get an A, and they used one of my things here. So here we go, Marco. Work is the essence of who we are. Work is the ethic that takes us so far. Your wildest dreams and pure imagination can all be achieved with hard work and dedication. What you want won't come without a fight, so work with patience and diligence. Be sure to do it right. The price of success is very hard to gauge. Start with ora et labora. You're on the right page. Choose a job you love. You'll never work a day. Be consistent and disciplined. At the top, you shall stay. With work so important, we tend to put it above. Be sure to leave time for family, friends, laughter, and most importantly, love. What do you know about that? Didn't know he had it in him. Got that side to him. So I'll work on a little booklet and we'll send that out. So I really did have fun with that. I hope you guys did. So a little lecture today is something we call, can people change? Can people really change? Now, we've talked about habits. We've talked about what we can and cannot change. So this morning we were at the class teaching the habits, And essentially we asked the question, hey, can people change? And unequivocally, 100% said yes. Now, the week before, they unequivocally 100% said no. So, you know, this is the fun thing about can people change. And so there is research and tells us. And I always like to joke and say I'm not a psychologist, but I have a friend who is, and we talk about this a lot, and he tells me people do not change. Unless, and he takes that pause and he underlines unless, they want to. And so we do talk about what is that really we're talking about. Let's dig down a little bit. And so when we analyze this, pretty much we're saying, you know, what do we mean by change? It's behavioral. Behavioral change, learned behaviors. It's part of what becomes our personality. And so if you take yourself back to your psychology class, you start with attitude. So it becomes what your attitude is. You know, I share the poem, my little Mike Woodson, you know, put it in the book, share it quite a bit, became a mission statement. You know, and what his was, and everything about your day, everything you do and say. From the morning till the end of day, you are your attitude. What an amazing poem written by a handicapped kid. But, you know, and most handicapped people, as we say, and this is, you know, I know it's not a popular word these days. We're going to say we're, you know, impaired or however we are. But back in these days when I was teaching, these kids didn't care who you were. They didn't care how smart you were. Didn't care what your, you know, athletic record was or what you had. You were there for them. You really were naked. And that's kind of like what writing a poem is. And how do we change? We have to understand what we are at that level. And it really is an epiphany. That's where we start becoming self-aware. People aren't going to change unless they understand becoming self-aware. And so it's what the researcher says, you have to do things heartedly. And that's a word I don't recall. Heartedly. And I was looking it up, and it brought me back to when the Pope came to visit. And a couple years ago, he was talking about we have to work at our jobs heartedly. And then I remembered, oh, that's right, I only remember hearing it half-heartedly. The word half-heartedly actually was in my brain, but not heartedly. And he was saying this, if you're not working heartedly, if you're not doing something heartedly, it's not worth it. And that's really not where we're going to go with this, but we say you have to put your whole heart into something to flourish, but unless you want to do that, it's not going to happen. So people aren't going to change. And why aren't they going to change? We look at people. Why are they resisting change? And the researchers are going to tell us people resist change because we're threatening their belief system. And usually they just can't stretch that far. I think of it in politics. Today, nobody's changing. Nobody's willing to keep an open mind. Nobody's willing. They're going in with a closed mind, so it's impossible for somebody to change because we're threatening their belief system, and they're going to protect it. You know, you can talk about self, you know, all kinds of mechanisms that we have in place. But so how do we really change? There's probably, I want to say, when we say habits, I love asking people what they say about how long it takes to change a habit. Most of the pros will say, you know, 21 days. That seems to be a popular one. 3 weeks, 4 weeks. There was a research paper undercover here a couple weeks ago preparing, and it was from the UK. The Health Behavior Research Center, absolutely, just 66 days, that's it. There's no questions. 66 days to change a habit. However, what they're saying is you still have to stay the course. You still have to follow up. They really don't know. We don't care. We just know it's hard for people to change. And when we look at the weight loss and we look at the smoking, the big things to change, there's so many cool research papers that talk about learned behaviors, how to unlearn them. In the fitness business, we used to write all our contracts in 12 weeks because we knew nothing's going to happen. You're not going to be able to quit smoking. You're not going to lose any weight. You're not going to change any fitness for sure. It's going to take you about 12 weeks before you see any changes. You're going to start feeling some things, and that's when you're totally committed. And see, that seems to be the word that all these people use, and that is commitment. So as a coach, as a leader in your store, as a leader in your group, you have to understand people aren't going to change without, A, you showing them how to want to change, getting them to change, but then really it's how are we going to actually get them to commit. And what we would just do is sign a contract. So for years as a life coach, I had a contract. It was generally 12 weeks. And we made sure, and we'd say, listen, if you don't think you're ready for this, don't sign this check. Because they're generally pretty big checks. And every now and then you get those people to say, well, yeah, nah, let me think about it. It's like, you know, think about it. Come back next month. Come back next year. But don't come back unless you're ready to make that commitment. Because we know it's not going to work. So when we say, can people change? Yes, they can. But they're just not going to change on their own generally. That's why even when we say, well, why are you going to counseling? Well, I know what I have to do, but I just can't do it. And as leaders and teachers and coaches, we've got to understand that, and we've got to be ourselves aware and what self-awareness is to change a habit and to see that, yeah, people can change. But generally, they're not going to without motivation. And I always love using the words, you know, getting inspired. How are you going to inspire somebody? Inspire, break that word down, breathe into. You're going to breathe into your spirit, your entheos, your enthusiasm. How are you breathing your spirit into that person you're trying to help? And like I say, it takes sometimes that commitment. It's a solemn promise. It's a signing of a contract, a check, whatever it is. There's got to be some kind of punctuation on it. And again, it's self-awareness. So in a word, we know that we can change, but we need help. And again, when we say somebody's self-made, I was just on the road and they said, oh, yeah, you had those businesses. And we talk about people saying, yeah, I'm self-made, and I hate that because nobody's self-made. And when we say we're self-made, we're saying all of a sudden that we're selfish, that we're ungrateful, ingratitude for all the people around us, and that's where we start our downfall. That's when we start getting in trouble. And those are the people we know aren't going to change. How do you get people to open up their minds? We can probably go on with this. I see we're getting frightfully close to our time. So, of course, we have to give our homework. And I thought, you know what? Maybe this is the week we don't have homework. But, you know, that wouldn't be right, would it? And it's only a 10-week course. So, actually, the quick quote of the week, usable quote, listening is an act of leadership. Listening is an act of leadership. Action. Think of listening as an action. And so simple homework, really not too hard. But as we're developing our leadership plans, our personal leadership plans, our personal habit changes plans, what I'd like you to do this week is just to pick a book, a leadership book, motivation book, a book you may have had on your shelf, a book you read, a book that you want to read, and just take that book and give me a few bullet points. Why you liked it, what it spoke to you. Like I said, you may have one now, you may look for one. I've got a ton on my shelves for anybody around here. But I know right now my man Chad is tuned in. He's reading Lincoln Leadership. And I just remember that book, I can give you 10 bullet points on Lincoln Leadership, which are just unique and why I love that book. But just one way, again, to get the book off the shelf, so to speak, just take a look. You don't have to read a whole book. All we're saying is find some bullet points. Why would you like this book? Find that old book that you've read, or maybe even look for a new one. So we hope you keep your toes warm. I know drove in from Pittsburgh last night, and the ice was on the inside of the windshield. That was exciting. When you see the degree and it says 1, you know that kind of gets your attention. So I know everybody, except for those people there in Florida, which we hate you people. All right, everybody. Have a great rest of the day. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Good.
Take care.